unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. This is the night of the NFL Draft. There's a lot to pay attention to. Make no mistake about it. Some of the biggest storylines going on. Fernando Mendoza is expected to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Jeremiah Love, the running back out of Notre Dame, is considered to be the best player in the NFL draft. Where is he going to land? It remains to be seen. Linebacker Sonny Styles out of Ohio State could fall as low as the number five in the draft, even though he's considered an absolute stud. And Ohio State safety Caleb Downs, or Arizona State wide receiver Jordan Tyson at number 10, among other things. These are all interesting storylines that are coming up with it. You see Arvell Reese, edge rusher, projected to potentially go number five with the Giants. Sonny Styles expected to go number four to Tennessee. Jeremiah Love expected to go number three at Arizona with the Arizona Cardinals. The Jets need an edge rusher. They're going after David Bailey at number two. You see just another, you know, look, the Carnell Tates ending up landing at number seven as an offensive tackle. You see Monroe Freeling going to number six at Cleveland. You see New Orleans grabbing Tyson at number eight. The Chiefs with Caleb Downs, the safety, at number nine. And then the New York Giants have a number 10 pick as well. Speaking of the Chiefs, you know, can we get Patrick Mahomes some help? Seriously. I mean, I know you got Xavier Worthy. I know you got Rashee Rice. Travis Kelce has decided to come back another year. They might need to grab another tight end to succeed. Travis Kelce. That's just my thinking. Just let y'all know that. If you're the New York Giants, here's my issue with Jeremiah Love. He's an absolute stud. Make no mistake about it. Just like Saquon Barkley was a stud and went number two overall to the Giants in 2018. I get all of that. But when I think about running backs, all I keep hearkening back to is a guy like Mel Kiper Jr., the absolute best in the business, who had spent years telling us you don't take a running back with the highest pick, with some of the highest picks in the draft, because there's always somebody there at the running back spot. You got to use those picks on some other position. The thing about Jeremiah Love, when you think about his quads, when you think about his arms, when you think about the length, when you think about his pass-catching ability, when you think about his breakaway speed, when you think about all of these things, he's clearly the best player in the NFL draft and a lot of people. Do you pass that up? If you're the Dallas Cowboys with the 12th and the 20th pick, do you pick him up? What do you do? Do you move up and pick him up to make sure you get somebody like that who showed out at the scouting combine? I'm talking about Sonny Styles. Do you go out of your way to do everything that you can to move up in the draft to get him in your staple? Or do you stick with your 12th and 20th pick because you need a multitude of players? And by the way, the Dallas Cowboys, no surprise there. They've been making news because what have they said? We franchise tag George Pickens. We haven't really spoken to him. We ain't thinking about giving him a long-term deal. We're not going to chew up a whole bunch of our money paying two wide receivers in excess of $65 to $69 million the way that the Cincinnati Bengals did with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. This is what the Dallas Cowboys are thinking about. Plus, they got a whole bunch of holes on defense. They need an edge rusher. They need a linebacker. They need somebody in their secondary. You got all of this stuff going on. What are you going to do? You're the Dallas Cowboys. It's a really, really interesting situation, a scenario that you're facing this with. What did you say, Sean? I couldn't hear you, my producer, Sean. Stephen Jones, he's reminding me about Stephen Jones speaking about George Pickens. And I think it is important that we hear from Stephen Jones, the COO, essentially. Obviously, Jerry Jones is the owner, the CEO, the president, the GM, and the whole bit. But that doesn't mean Stephen Jones doesn't have a title. And he was surrounded by head coach, you know, Schottenheimer and others yesterday. Listen to Stephen Jones, the son of Jerry Jones, and what he had to say about the situation involving George Pickens. Take it away.
that we're going to have George play under the franchise tag, which won't be a first for us. So there won't be negotiations on a long-term deal. You know, that's certainly not a first for this organization and certainly won't be a first in the league in terms of, you know, this decision as we move forward. But whether it's Dak Prescott, who played under one and got tagged a second time, whether it's D-Law, whether it's Tony Pollard, you know, we've certainly had those situations. We're so fired up to have George on this football team. And obviously, he's been here for a year. We gave up a third-round pick for him, and certainly he's made tremendous progress in the year that he's been here. I think he'd be the first to tell you that this is a great situation for him, playing with CD and Dak and in Coach Schottenheimer's offense. I think he loves Coach Schottenheimer and what he brings to the table, but certainly a conscious decision that we've made.
Bottom line is this. I got a problem with the Dallas Cowboys in this regard. It's an accident waiting to happen, in all seriousness. I'm not joking around. You don't franchise tag somebody the magnitude of a George Pickens when you see receivers out there getting long-term deals with $120 million guaranteed and stuff like that. You just don't do that to somebody like him. You know, because when you franchise tag him, yeah, you're going to franchise tag him at about $28 million, which is about $3 to $5 million under his market value at this particular moment in time. But that's not the real reason. The real reason is there isn't a long-term commitment. So you go out there and you play for $28 million. You're endangering yourself along the way because an injury could happen that could end your season, if not your career. And you're missing out on about an additional $90 to $100 million that you could be guaranteed because you go out there and you play with the franchise tag. Let's not forget also that George Pickens is represented by David Mulugeta, one of the best agents in the business. This is an elite agent, make no mistake about it. But it's also the same agent that represents Micah Parsons, who was a Dallas Cowboy last year and went through that ordeal with the Dallas Cowboys before he was traded, departing for the Green Bay Packers, where he ended up getting his bag. So this is one of those situations where George Pickens, in all likelihood, is not going to show up to training camp. He's not going to show up to OTAs. He's not going to be looking to play because he's going to be looking to get traded because he knows that, you know what, long-term dollars is what he's after. He's not after some short-term fix, and then he can go out on the field and get himself hurt and ruin everything that he has. And the people like Mad Dog Russo, who is as annoying as they come when it comes to issues like this. I love my brother, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, but he is a royal pain in the ass when it comes to this one thing. And I hope they quote me and he replays it on his show. Yes, I said it. My buddy, the doggy, is a royal pain in the ass when it comes to this one subject. His whole thing is you signed a contract. You signed a contract. Damn it, you're going and you honor the contract. NFL teams don't honor contracts. I don't know how many NFL experts, one after another, have rolled up on Mad Dog Russo when he's been on First Take on national television every Wednesday. They're getting his ass. Why? Because they say, listen, the teams don't honor the contracts. The team come to you to restructure your deals, to take pay cuts, or to flat out waive you and cut you after they've made a commitment to you. This isn't basketball. This isn't baseball. This is football. If you've played, if you've outperformed your contract, you deserve to have it revisited. You deserve to get re-upped. Just like if you don't live up to your level of expectation, they could come to you to lower the commitment to you. So there's nothing wrong with that transpiring in the sport of football. Nevertheless, with Doggy, there's always something wrong with it. This is what he does. This is who he is, okay? Old curmudgeon. That's what he does. And we don't listen to that. Okay, so I'm letting y'all know right now, we ain't trying to listen to Doggy today on that one either. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Let me tell you something else that's getting on my damn nerves. And that's the situation involving Aaron Rodgers, who's approaching 43 years of age, I'm sorry. And this man still has not committed to whether or not he wants to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season, signaling that he hasn't been offered a contract. Just stop it. The Steelers have Will Howard and Mason Rudolph in their quarterback room. Aaron Rodgers knows good and damn well ain't nobody thinking about him not playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He knows they're waiting for him to make that kind of commitment. And my attitude is he should have absolutely positively no effect on the draft whatsoever. If the Steelers have an opportunity to draft a quarterback, they should. And I think that quarterback should be Ty Simpson. Now, there are others who disagree with me, like the Ryan Clarks of the world, the Mina Kimes of the world, my daytime colleagues at ESPN who've forgotten more football than I'll ever know. You understand? That teach me the game every day. And their mentality is, hey, the bottom line is that Ty Simpson has only had 15 starts. He's been there for 4 years. For 3 years, he sat on the bench. His last year there, he went through like an 8-game stretch where he threw 19 touchdowns, just one interception, and was playing out of his mind. But over the last 6 games, he didn't look so great, only completed 60% of his passes, threw 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, that kind of thing. We've had Ty Simpson on this show. His father is a head coach, okay? His football IQ is there. His arm strength is there. His ability to read through progressions and pick stuff up quickly is there. He's a good enough athlete. He's only listed at about 6'1", 211 pounds, so he's got to get bigger. He's got to get taller. I get it. But if he's the second best quarterback in the draft and you know somebody is going to take him at the bottom of round one or the top of round two, why would you not grab him if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers? Unless you think Will Howard is the answer, why would you not grab him? Because I'm here to tell you, it damn sure ain't Mason Rudolph that's the answer. The biggest thing that Mason Rudolph ever did was nearly getting knocked upside his head by Myles Garrett when Myles Garrett yanked off his helmet. That's the biggest news that Mason Rudolph has ever made. So I'm here to tell you something right now. I'm not sold on that. I don't want the Steelers starting the season with no damn Mason Rudolph. And oh, by the way, where's your receivers at? DK Metcalf can ball, and I get that. But I think he's proven he's not necessarily a number one option at the wide receiver spot. Look at him compared to Jackson Smith and Jigba. Look at what Smith and Jigba look like. Look at what he's done. NCAA Super Bowl champion, all-world receiver. Look at what he's done. I'm telling you that right now. I'm not sleeping on this, brother. I love DK Metcalf, but you need more. You need more than him. You need more than Freiermuth. You need more than Warren out of the backfield. Steelers need some help. And Mike McCarthy being there instead of Mike Tomlin, who's now going to be working on NBC doing football now, and I'm proud of him and happy for him. Instead of coaching the football team, I'm looking at it from the standpoint that, look, Steelers need all the help they can get. But it all starts with a quarterback. And you got to crawl before you walk. And the Steelers have been how many years without Big Ben Roethlisberger? Because they really haven't had a quarterback since then until Aaron Rodgers arrived. And he arrived at age 42. And he threw for over 3,400 yards. And he threw for 24 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And he completed 65% of his passes. And he wasn't God-awful. Well, congratulations, damn it. But how is that going to compete in the AFC? Against Lamar Jackson. Against Joe Burrow. With Cincinnati now trying to get a defense. Even though, and you got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. With Buffalo now having DJ Moore. For Josh Allen to throw the football to. Not just Keon Coleman. With the New England Patriots, with the Denver Broncos, who would have gone to the Super Bowl had Bo Nix gotten hurt in the end of the divisional playoff round game against Buffalo. What about the Chargers, who now has Mike McDaniels as an offensive coordinator? What about the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes coming back? You think they're just going to stand pat? You think that Andy Reid and them are going to come off a 6-11 season and look like hot garbage? No, they got something to prove. Coming off their worst season in the Patrick Mahomes era, they've got 2 first-round picks, 9 and number 29. And even though there's questions about Mahomes, who's returning from a torn ACL, make no mistake about it, he's going to be ready. You know he's going to be ready. Travis Kelce is likely playing his last season in the NFL, which means that Kansas City needs to draft another tight end, which they'll likely do. We'll see what happens with that. I'm just saying, you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Ty Simpson falls to number 21. How can you pass on him? Steelers have a lot of needs, too. Unless you got some stud at a linebacker spot that you need a quarterback. It's been years. Those are my thoughts. Just coming into the NFL draft. What about yours? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. The reason I haven't brought up the Jets, even though they have the number 2 overall pick, is because they've had the number 2 overall pick before. They haven't done much with it. Just ask Zach Wilson. I'm not sold on the New York Jets. I'm just not sold that they'll do anything right yet. We'll see. So that's how I feel about them. When I think about Aaron Rodgers again, I'm going to listen to Omar Khan, the general manager for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Listen to him speaking on Aaron Rodgers and tell me how am I supposed to feel after listening to this man speak. Take it away, Sean.
You know, we've had some great communication with Aaron, and nothing's changed, but it's all been positive and good. And, you know, I said this to you guys in March when we met. You know, he knows how we feel about him, and, you know, we know how he feels about us. That doesn't change our evaluation process. We're still putting the guys up where they need to be, and, you know, we'll just see how it shakes out.
Riddle me this. How in the hell are things positive and things are good, but nothing has changed? Can y'all explain that to me? You still don't have an answer for me whether or not he's coming back. You still doesn't have an answer for us whether or not he's returning as the head coach of the franchise. You don't have those answers. You don't know what's going to happen, but it's all good. How's it all good? And you don't know whether or not he's playing. I just want to know. Because I don't see it. And I don't dislike Omar Khan. I don't know the man from a can of paint. He's a minority that has an opportunity to be an executive on the NFL level, and I'm happy for him. I'm just waiting for results because I haven't seen any. I saw them go out and pay a boatload of money on the defensive side of the ball last year. I didn't see that pay off dividends. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. Is it just me? Sean, one of my producers, what's on your mind about this? How do you feel about this draft? What you watching out for?
Well, obviously the draft starts at 2, Steven, because obviously we all know Fernando Mendoza's going number 1. I think I'm with you with this whole Ty Simpson thing because you're right, and you painted the picture perfectly with the Steelers. It can't all be good. You don't know who your quarterback is yet, right? Aaron Rodgers hasn't made his decision yet. You just heard Omar Khan say it, but everything's good. So, yeah, I'm with you. If he's there at 21, I think they got to take the quarterback. I'm not sure if he's going to play this year or not. I don't think that part matters right now, but you do need to go get your quarterback. So I'm interested to see where Ty Simpson goes.
What about you, Griff? What's on your mind as this draft approaches?
I agree that the Steelers need a quarterback, but I don't think that Ty Simpson is that guy. I wouldn't spend the first round capital on him. Those guys with the short sample size like him, Mark Sanchez and others, generally not a great track record of succeeding in the NFL. He's got, what, 12, 13 games under his belt?
15.
I wouldn't spend a first-round pick on him.
See, my problem, I get where both of y'all are coming from, man, in two opposite ends, and I get it. Griff, my issue with that, man, is that, listen, if you're the Steelers, I'm talking about the Steelers who haven't had a quarterback in years other than Aaron Rodgers. The Mason Rudolphs of the world, the you know, Justin Fields, the Russell Wilsons, you know, I don't see it. The Mitchell Trubisky's of the world. I mean, what do we had? So I'm just looking like something. I just don't know.
You want another one of those guys? You want another one of those guys to come in?
Well, again, I don't know if Ty Simpson's going to be another one of those guys. If he's got the arm strength and the football IQ and he's been coached by his daddy, who's a head football coach, in college football and stuff like that, and they're raving about his IQ, they're raving about his arm strength, they're raving about his ability to read defenses, et cetera, and pick up things quickly, I think that's a huge plus. And other people are comparing him to Kenny Pickett, who the Steelers picked 20th years ago, I think in 2020, and that didn't pan out, I guess. I understand. I just think they desperately need a quarterback. I wish they would have went out and got Malik Willis or somebody, but that's just me. But I appreciate it, fellas. Thanks a lot. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. We'll get into the draft. We'll get into all the NBA playoffs because we saw Oklahoma City beat Phoenix last night. We saw Detroit romp Orlando. What a third quarter they put forth on Orlando. That was something special to watch. We got the Knicks coming up against the Hawks. We got the Lakers coming up against KD in Houston. We've got San Antonio and Portland going on. We got Boston and Philly going on. They got Denver and Minnesota going on. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about all of that. But unfortunately, I got to switch to another story because the story isn't going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. And it's involving the head coach for the New England Patriots, Mr. Mike Vrabel, and Diana Rossini, a former colleague at ESPN, who is now the former senior NFL writer at The Athletic, after she resigned last week amid rumors swirling about a relationship she was having with the head coach of the New England Patriots. Just to give y'all background, there was photos of them holding hands as the sun rised. One day, there was another time when they were seen poolside together, about an hour away from the NFL meetings. She was in a bikini. He was in a shirtless top. So you had all of that going on. And there was rumors that were swirling about a relationship which she initially categorically denied along with himself. And then The Athletic stood by her originally. And then they were compelled to investigate. And according to reports, they had asked for her cell phone, which she refused to give up. Which I don't blame her for that, because they could be looking for anything, not just that, which I would not have given somebody a license to do with my cell phone. So I can understand that. And she said that, you know, she's innocent of what she's being accused of, and she stands by every report that she's ever reported, et cetera, et cetera. And all of this other stuff is going on, and Vrabel went silent for 2 weeks. Then yesterday, we played some sound, and Sean, make sure you have that ready for me, where we had some sound where he addressed the media for the first time in a couple of weeks about this whole brouhaha that had come about with regards to him and Diana Rossini. Here's what Mike Vrabel said when he was speaking to the media about this yesterday. Plake, take it away.
I've had some difficult conversations with people that I care about, with my family, the organization, the coaches, the players. Those have been positive and productive. You know, we believe in order to be successful on and off the field, you have to make good decisions. That includes me. That starts with me. We never want our actions to negatively affect the team. We never want to be the cause of a distraction. You know, and what I... those are comments and questions that I've answered for the team and with the team. We'll keep those private and, you know, to ourselves. I care deeply about this football team, and I'm excited to coach them. I also know that I'm going to attack each day with humility and focus. And what I can promise you is that my family, this organization, the team, the staff, the coaches, everybody, our fans, most importantly, we'll get the best version of me going forward. And that's what I know, and I'm excited to do that. But I wanted to just address this and thank you for your patience in dealing with the private and personal matter.
Just to reiterate what I said yesterday on this show, I thought that explanation by Matt Vrabel was bullshit. Mike Vrabel was bullshit. And here's what bothers me about it. He shouldn't have said anything. They categorically denied it. Leave it at that. Don't say anything. Instead, he came out with an explanation that I believe further threw Diana Rossini under the bus. Because you see, the person in real conflict here is her, not him. There's no doubt that he has some explaining to do based on the photos with his wife and his children. But the bottom line is, it's none of our business. What makes this our business is Diana Rossini, because of the outstanding reporter she is believed to be. Now, here is a woman that worked at ESPN for 10 years that I am here to tell you I think is a good person, that I feel is a damn good reporter. I've never had any issue with her. I've never known of anybody else who has had an issue with her. And her professionalism up to this point had never come into question. But because of this incident with these photos that she was spotted with Mike Vrabel during the NFL meetings, by the way, more than an hour away from the hotel where the NFL meetings and most media members were taking place, it incriminated her. And so that's how all of this story has unfolded and has been in the news over the last week. Well, now just today, in new bombshell information, courtesy of the New York Post, it says here Diana Rossini and the married Mike Vrabel caught kissing at a New York City bar in bombshell new photos taken 6 years ago before the scandal. So, what's serious about this, ladies and gentlemen, is that her career is in grave jeopardy. Because we now surmise, if not flat out know, that they had something going on with one another. And so because of that, you're going to have people that backtrack and look at her stories. The story she has written about Mike Vrabel, the story she has written about the New England Patriots, the story she has written about everything pertaining to the NFL remotely connected to the Patriots, because the belief is going to be, fair or unfair, that she acquired this information through Pillow Talk. And as a result, fair or unfair, there are going to be people who are assuming that that's how she climbed the ladder as a highly respected NFL reporter in this business. And that is why I'm very, very sad for her. Because chances are she doesn't deserve this. Chances are she worked her ass off to be where she is. But the flip side to it is that this doesn't look good. And not only is he married, she's married. Now, I'm not one to get inside of people's bedrooms, and I'm one of those people, I can't stand when people do that, because you don't know what individual marriages and what understand. I know people with open marriages. I know people who are all about getting for their freak-ons. I know people that all is all about swinging. I've heard of this stuff. Never been involved with it myself. But I know of this kind of stuff. So you never know what's going on inside of somebody's bedroom. And we get that part. But the fact that she put herself in this position, her credibility essentially is shredded. Because you've resigned from The Athletic. You wouldn't let them see your cell phone. There's questions about the credibility of the stories that you have written. We're wondering what kind of impact Mike Vrabel himself may have had on the information you disseminated. And then this dude goes out in a press conference. And while he's out in the press conference, he never once says it wasn't true. He never once said or spoke highly about her, her professionalism, her credibility, or nothing. All he spoke about was himself, and now he had to have hard discussions with his family. What hard discussions with your family? That's telling your wife what you were doing. That's what the hard discussion was. That's telling your wife that, you know, you got caught. And this is what the truth is. That's what the hard discussion was. It's a damn shame. I don't wish this on anybody. And I'm not going to sit here and cast aspersions on Diana Rossini, my former colleague at ESPN, or anybody else. I'm just not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. It's not right. But in the same breath, it is important, particularly for people in this business, to be reminded of the fact that appearances are everything. And when you are perceived as being compromised, specifically with regards to the subjects you cover, that's a different ballgame. If Diana Rossini was an NFL reporter and seen out with an NBA player or a coach or something like that, nobody cares. You're two adults. It's the fact that who she was seen with was somebody she covers. That's where it gets tricky. And that's where it's dangerous, and that can't happen. So it's a tough spot for her. Mike Vrabel stepping away after game, after day two. You know, you got a bunch of picks from day three on. Why the hell ain't you stepping away from games one and two? What the hell you waiting till game three for? Or day three for? Why the hell you step away from now? What the hell anybody needs to see Mike Vrabel now and tomorrow for? For what? Step away right now. The rest of the Patriots can handle it. If you're going to step away, step away. If you're going to stay, stay. What the hell are you being going day three mean anything? What you being near games one day one and two mean? You know how to use a phone? Do that. Real bad situation. No doubt about it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. My man, Danny Cannell, college football analyst extraordinaire, here to tip me off about all the talent coming out of college football. Who's what? Who measures up to what? Who matters? Who should we be looking out for? Where should they land? We'll ask those questions and more up next. Stick around. You're listening live. Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Don't go away.